Oh, God, I want you to have first place in my life. Oh, God, okay, I'm going to sing a song about it. Have first place in my life. Okay, let me pray about it, Lord. Pray you have me first place in my life. Just do it. Oh, what do you mean? When you get your check, what's the first thing you do?
I go to LNL.
No. Are you putting me first? First thing in the morning, what do?
I read the newspaper.
No. Why don't you read my word? You understand? You say it, but you don't do it.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, Obedience, the Key to God's Delight. We learned the importance of not merely hearing the word, but acting on it in obedience. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that, as we do, God always rewards an obedient faith. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Obedience, the Key to God's Delight.
So is it that big of a deal? Big deal. Obedience. Why? Because, would you write down in the first bullet, your faith requires more. You go, well, that sounds like heresy. Faith is enough, right? Let me just tell you a little bit about it here. Let's read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Go. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness add knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, yeah, did you hear that? You add to your faith. It's got to move further than just a hearing kind of faith. Now, some of you might say, whoa, wait a minute. That sounds like we're being saved by good works. No, you need to hear this now. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. In other words, it tends, it inclines you to obey, to do something, a bias for action. And without that, your faith is limited. It's only half there, because it's just a hearing faith. Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created beforehand that we should walk in them. You weren't saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. Because faith requires more. I had one guy come to me and say, oh, he said, I believe God, that's enough. You guys teach faith, right? Faith is everything. I said, well, kind of close. Gets you closer to God. Well, I believe God, that's enough. I said, He said, what do you mean? I said, He said, I believe God. Isn't that enough? I said, It kind of gets you on the same level as the devil. I said, what? Yeah. And then I quoted to him James 2. Let's read it together. Go. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. So I said, good. You're at the level of the devil. Listen carefully. There is not one demon in the universe that's an atheist. They all believe God. Not only that, he even quotes scripture. Sure, Luke chapter 4. Hey, throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple. Is it not written that he will give his angels charge over thee, lest ye cast your foot against a stone? Did you know that Lucifer pulled that right out of the book of Psalms and quoted it? See, that's why the Lord says, not just those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter, but those who obey. Listen very carefully. The devil believes in God, but he doesn't obey. Did you catch that? The devil believes in God. Lucifer was there in heaven with him before he fell. He believes God. He just won't what? Do you understand how important that part of your faith is? You add that together, now you got a powerful faith. But sometimes in modern day Christianity, we have the hearing faith. In fact, the Bible says in the end days, we want more of a hearing faith. You know what it what the Bible calls it? We will accumulate for ourselves teachers that will tickle our ears. Give us an illustration another way. A turn that phrase a little bit. Ooh, give me another joke. Ooh, I like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, ooh. You gonna do anything with it? No. See, sometimes we say, well, we believe God, that's enough. That's really, sounds like good theology, but wrong spirit. Sounds like the guy's really got his hermeneutic down, but wrong spirit. A lot of times when people say, hey, all I need is faith, I believe in God, that's enough. I know it's an excuse to be slothful. You tell them, shut up and get your hand to the plow. There's a story of Muhammad Ali. He was in first class flying out, and the stewardess came and said, excuse me, sir. And this was at the height of his career. She said, excuse me, sir, would you put on your seatbelt? He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, oh, excuse me. And so she went to the chief purser, or the head flight attendant. She said, Mr. Ali is out there, and he won't put on his seatbelt. She said, I'll take care of him. So she walks out there and she said, excuse me, sir, we're taking off. Would you please put on your seatbelt? He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. She looked at him and said, Superman don't need no airplane. Put on your seatbelt. See, sometimes what we think is really good theology is just an excuse. We need to put on our seatbelt when it comes to faith. Why? Because the second half of your faith, would you write it in the bullet, is obedience. The second half of your faith is obedience. Lest we be like the prophet Isaiah that says, these people hear and they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They have a hearing faith, but they don't have a doing faith. There's no obedience, so it's a dead faith. The second half of faith is obedience. Let's read James 2 so that you see how important to God us responding to His word is. Because remember, the bottom line is God wants to spend an eternity with us, but it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that'll get passageway. It's those who do the will of my Father. And so obedience is a big deal to God. And He's the creator, and He can't loosen up His laws of physics or His laws of spiritual health. So He's not going to change. We must. And when we obey, we're saying, you're the creator. But sometimes we're like Muhammad Ali. You know, when you were younger, you read the story of Pinocchio. Remember that one? It's a mythical story of a man carving this little boy out of wood. And when he carves his arm, boop, it starts to come alive. It moves on its own. He carves his other arm, boop, and he starts moving his other arm. And the sculptor or the carver, wood carver, his name is Geppetto. Geppetto says, what is this? He carves his eye, boop, and starts looking around. Said, this is crazy. He carves this guy's foot out, and when he makes the joint, bing, he starts moving his foot. And Geppetto says, this is amazing. And he turns to get another tool. And when he does, Pinocchio kicks him. Boom. Whoa, what is that? And he turns around and he says something brilliant. He looked at Pinocchio and he said, I am not even done creating you. And already you're a mischievous boy. That's almost Bible. How often God can say to a young man in the seventh year of marriage or eighth year as a man and a woman, I'm not even done creating your marriage yet, and already you're mischievous. I'm not even done creating your relationship with this person, and already you've turned aside. I'm not even done creating what I want to do in this relationship or this financial situation, and already you're mischievous. You understand why obedience is so important? Because when you obey, something of the righteousness of God for your marriage, for your life, goes click, 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 click. It's exactly what God wanted. But it's released in obedience, not just hearing. Let me ask you. What has God been asking you to do that you've been putting aside, that you've not obeyed? You've heard, but you've not yet obeyed. Maybe it's writing an email to someone to give forgiveness instead of holding on to that bitterness. Maybe God's been asking you to get involved. Maybe God's been asking you to stop looking at certain things that you've been looking at. Or maybe investing time in such temporal matters and missing the time that should be invested in eternal matters. Or maybe with your spouse or your family. Has God been revealing some things to you and, ooh, yeah, okay, and then you forget about it later? Isn't it time to obey? Because something of God's righteousness wants to click in for your marriage, but it's not going to happen until you hear. No, until you obey. Remember, one step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons. For some of you, God may be saying to obey by opening your heart to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been coming to church. You've been hearing. But you have yet to break through that pride or the reticence to raise your hand and say, I need to turn from my sin, turn to God. For some of you, it might be water baptism. That God's been speaking to you about water baptism. I don't want to do that. No, God is saying it's time for you to make a proclamation that you're going to die to the old and you're going to live to Jesus Christ. And you're going to make that public. Well, get over your whatever. And you get out there. Okay. And it's been a year. The Lord is saying, obey. Because something of the righteousness of God begins to click into place. I was baptized when I was a baby. Yeah, but when you were a baby, whose decision was it that you be baptized? Yours? No, you were a baby. You had no idea what was going on in the cosmos. When you were baptized, it wasn't your decision. Whose decision was it? It's your parents' decision. Thank God for parents that look out for the welfare of their child. But you had no idea what was going on. Maybe you've strayed from God and you've come back and now it's time for you to make that decision. For you to say it's time for me to be baptized. And God is saying, good. Now act on that one step. What has God been telling you? Let me talk to you men. What are you tripping over this year that you were tripping over a year ago? And you're still tripping over the same thing. Maybe it's your first reaction to something that you don't like as anger. Or maybe giving a silent treatment in order to punish quietly your wife or kids. Just give them the silent treatment. That's how I punish you a little bit. You tripped over that 2 years ago. You're still tripping over that today. And you've been to 100 sermons. Remember, one step of obedience is worth more than 100 sermons. Because something of the righteousness of God starts to click into place, not when you hear, but when you obey. See, what fulfills your faith and completes it, the second half, is obedience. Let's read what James chapter 2 says right under that bullet. Would you with me? Go. What use is it if someone says that he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So is obedience a big deal to God? Mm-hmm. So here's the good news. Would you write down number 3? Here's the good news. God always rewards an obedient faith. God always rewards an obedient faith. I've seen him do that hundreds of times. No, not just a hearing faith. A what? An obedient faith. Let's read what it says in Proverbs 13. Go. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandments will be rewarded. Underline that. It doesn't say might be. It says what? Will be rewarded. Do you know that God absolutely delights in blessing his children. God delights in giving to his kids, just like I delight in giving to my grandkids. I just delight to do that. God a million times more wants to do that with you, to reward, to give. But it only happens when we obey what we hear. You see how it becomes a full faith, a complete faith, an obedient faith, not a hearing faith. Pharisees had that. An obedient faith. That's gold. That's gold. So, what do you need to do? Maybe God's been talking to you about devotions. Taking time in the morning to read the Bible and journal on it.
Oh, I don't have the time.
Listen. Just go to your devotional reading plan and start and stop at the first thing that you read that touches your heart and journal on that. It could be one verse, two verses later, three verses, fourth verse down. Oh, that's good. Journal on it. Might take you 7 minutes, but at least you've got a gem that you can chew on all day. Read until you get something. Stop. Journal on it. Every small step is worth more than 100 sermons.
Take that step and then click, 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 click. Something starts to happen. What has God been speaking to you about? That one small step. I remember I was worshiping one day. I said, oh, God, you know what I want? I just want you to have first place in my life. And God is just, he's wonderful. He kind of pushes back on me sometimes. Oh, I just want you to have first place. Good. Do it.
Oh, God, I want you to have first place in my life.
Good. Start.
Oh, God, okay, I'm going to sing a song about it. Have first place in my life.
No. Do it.
Okay, let me pray about it, Lord. Pray you be first place. No, just do it.
And it's like he said, Put me first.
Oh, what do you mean?
When you get your check, what's the first thing you do?
I go to LNL.
No. Are you putting me first? First thing in the morning, what do?
I read the newspaper.
No. Why don't you read my word? Do you understand? You say it, but you don't do it. And that's why the Bible says, in fact, let's read it together. John 13:17, go. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... Okay? If you know these things, noggin. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you know it more. No. If you know these things, if you memorize it, he'll bless you. No. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... Do you see the completeness of faith and where the reward comes from? Where God says, now you're understanding that I'm the creator. When you cooperate through obedience, you'll be blessed. I figured it that way. It's all in my design. But if you reject it, the wages of sin is cataclysmic collision. And then I think, got it. Ah, because God is saying, I want to bless you more than you'll ever know. More than you want to be blessed, I want to bless you. I have a plan for your marriage and your future. And as soon as you begin to obey, click, click, something of the righteousness of God starts to come into place for your future. But my laws will not change. You must change. You don't want me to change, the Lord says. And then you'll understand what it means to have an obedient faith. Let me finish with this story. It's an old Navy story, and stories told of a battleship coming towards a coastal area, but it was enshrouded with thick, thick fog. And in those days, they didn't have the sonar technology that we have today. They had a big, bright fog light, and they had the fog horn and a megaphone. Well, the ship was going through the shoals area of this coastal area, but it was so enshrouded with fog, and all of a sudden the navigator looks up and another light is coming right at him. He yells to the admiral, "Admiral, come up quick!" And he sees this thing coming at him, and the admiral blows his horn and he gets on the megaphone. "This is Admiral Jones of the U.S. Navy. You alter your course 10 degrees north. We're coming through."
Out of the fog, he hears this voice. This is Seaman First Class Anderson. You alter your course 10 degrees south.
He said, what is the... He gets back on the megaphone. I said, this is Admiral Jones of the U.S. Navy. You will alter your course 10 degrees north now.
This is Seaman First Class Anderson. You will alter your course 10 degrees south now.
He said, this is insubordination. This is Admiral Jones, my final word of the U.S. Navy. You will alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a battleship.
This is Seaman First Class Anderson. You alter your course 10 degrees south. This is a lighthouse.
God ain't gonna change. Even though you think you want admiral. God is the creator. He knows how your marriage functions the best. Cooperate with him. He knows how friendships between two men or two women function the best. Cooperate with him. He knows how our minds function the best. Cooperate with him. And he's put it all right here for us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abideth forever. God is the creator, and he knows how we function the best. And when you obey him, you're saying, Lord, I want to be a person of not just a hearing faith, but an obedient faith. And that's the kind of people we want to be right here. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen.
God's grace.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Obedience, the Key to God's Delight by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there was a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams?
New Hope is a place where teachers invest into the lives of their students. A place where students come to learn and leave market ready.
For more info, register at newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638.